You are listening to a sermon by Gerald Neufeld, recorded on Sunday, May 22, 2016, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, thank you for inviting me again. I've been here a few other times over the years, I guess, and it's always nice to come together and worship together and have a chance to share as well as have fellowship with you here. I continue to work at the Mennonite Japanese Christian Fellowship in Surrey. There was a Surrey Mennonite church that was also a Japanese group that actually closed officially this past year. And a lot of people thought that was my group, and they were a little bit, are you okay, everything? And no, that's not my group, it's a different, there were actually two Japanese groups in Surrey. And the one group that closed had been meeting basically one family for a number of years as well, so they finally made it official to close. But the Mennonite Japanese Christian Fellowship, where I'm with, we have about 30 people, sometimes 40, and half kids. So a lot, it's very lively, and it's both a blessing and brings with it some challenges as well. But we have our church retreat at Squia coming up, so we're excited about planning for that. And we have a number of different events, and it's interesting that in a small group, we have lots of, it feels like we have big challenges because our funds are limited and lots of things are limited, not many people to do things. But most of the congregation is active and participating in things. So that's been a real blessing that people, because it's small, you need to engage more. And there's many more opportunities to serve. And even guests coming right away, they're happy to be participating. It feels like something meaningful there. So along with work with the Mennonite Japanese Christian Fellowship, I'm also working at Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Abbotsford part-time as a music coordinator. And so that's helping basically for our support. And it's also fits very much with what I'm interested in the area of music as well. But doing two different work, serving at two different locations has been somewhat of a challenge. Sunday mornings become very busy, and by the end of the day, I'm wiped out, especially if I'm in the morning leading music in Abbotsford, then come in the afternoon and preaching in Japanese in the afternoon. I preach about once or twice a month in Japanese and once a month in English, and then we have a sharing time for one of the Sundays as well. Sundays can be pretty intense. And then once a month, I get one Sunday off, and it feels much more free that morning. So today is my Sunday off from Abbotsford. So I have a chance to share with you now, too. So I'm happy for that, too. I'm a collector. Not in the sense of collecting things like stamps, coins, or comic books, but in the sense of storing things and that I'm not using, rather than getting rid of them. So on the other hand, my wife, Rie, likes to throw things out. So I think it's a good combination because we can really balance each other out a lot. And she's quite patient with me, and I appreciate that she never throws things out of mine without confirming that it's okay with me. At least as far as I know, she does that. There may be some things she's thrown out that I never found out about, but that's fine too. I've learned a lot of the relief that comes from simplifying my life and finally getting rid of some of those things that I haven't used in many years. There's a slight bit of stress added to life whenever I see boxes of stuff that I haven't used in many years. For example, I thought, yeah, I really should do something about those old notebooks from grade 9. Yeah, that's like 37 years ago. Well, actually, I've really reduced a lot every time we move. But it's like I go through the same folders and take out a few more things and get smaller and smaller each time we move. So. But it's felt good, like spring cleaning. And I've been glad sometimes when I've saved something that I could use again. But I also find that a lot of the clutter, the unnecessary things, can sometimes weigh heavily in my thoughts and add stress to my life. So many people struggle with clutter in their lives, meaning things that need to be dealt with that are just sitting there. And it goes beyond stuff like junk that's stored in the garage. It also extends to our thoughts and where we focus our energy. I believe all of us struggle at times with things that distract us from the most important things. They may be good things, but they are still distractions if they prevent us from focusing on the best things. We can see this in the story of Mary and Martha that was read today. Jesus is visiting, and Martha is running around making sure everything is perfect. Of course, this is Jesus we're talking about. In contrast, Martha's sister Mary spends the whole time sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he has to say. And then I think, of course, Martha's not happy. She comes to Jesus saying, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me with everything to do, all the work myself? Tell her to help me." If Jesus were to say, "Okay, Martha's right, Mary, you'd better go help your sister," I'd have thought, "Well, of course. Mary was being so inconsiderate of Martha. She should help her." But Jesus surprises us here. He points to Martha's problem and speaks positively about Mary's choice to focus on Jesus. He's emphasizing something that's much deeper than whether or not Mary should help Martha with the work. The original Greek words have slightly different meanings, but in my Bible, the NRSV, the word distracted is used, and that's the same as what was read today, to describe Martha. Distracted is used a couple of times to describe her. And it's also in some versions it could be bothered or worried and bothered. So we read, Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And later Jesus says to her, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." How sad it is if Martha was so busy making a great meal for Jesus that she missed having time to listen to what he has to say. Imagine Martha years later telling her friends, they want to know, "What? Jesus came to visit? Yeah, we had Jesus over for dinner." "Wow! Tell us, what did the Lord Jesus have to say?" her friends ask. And Martha replies, "Actually, I don't really remember too much. I was so busy getting the meal ready." What a lost opportunity. At the time, Martha had her priorities a little bit out of line. She was missing the most important thing. Before I was married, I remember times when I had guests over and I cooked a meal. And most of the evening, I would usually be worried about how the meal is turning out. I'd be busy running back and forth, making sure everything's okay with the food. By the end of the evening, the guests return home and I realize that I've hardly had much chance to talk with them. I was just too busy. Over the years, I've been trying to focus more on the important priority of visiting and making simpler meals when we have guests so that I can focus more on visiting with the friends. These days, my wife Ria usually makes the meals, so I try to help her so she doesn't end up having to work the whole time without having a chance to visit. So what is your number one priority in life? Where do you spend most of your time and concentration? Jesus said that those who want to save their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for Jesus' sake will find it. In other words, if our priority is to have ourselves in the number one spot, seeking the best things for ourselves, we'll be disappointed. If we instead commit our lives to Jesus as Lord, we discover that we receive everything we need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a very famous passage, but it's so important. Jesus also said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Well, that's a pretty radical statement. I mean, it's... Later he says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's from Luke chapter 14. It seems an extreme. But Jesus is not saying, not saying that we should forget about our family and everything else important to us. Of course not. He's making the point that we should have nothing ahead of him. Even our love for family, our desire for protecting ourselves, and our efforts to live comfortable lives easily become like idols. We give them more attention than our Lord Jesus. Jesus came from God, lived among us, and then hung on the cross for our sins. God raised him to life, and Jesus now rules as Lord of all. He alone deserves our worship. And he shouldn't have to compete with our family and friends for our attention. The Apostle Paul talks about our need to focus on God's calling in his letter to the believers in Philippi. And I'd like to read a passage from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. This is also something that connects with what I'd like to share today. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. So here Paul talks about pressing on towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Paul says, this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Earlier in the passage, he's already shared many things that normally would give him authority and prestige. He had the highest qualifications as a Jew and had been passionate about keeping the law. He was born in the right tribe, Benjamin, and he was like all those things that would put him up high, higher than other people, or give him authority. He could list so many different things. Now he's saying that he can't hold on to all those achievements of the past. Looking forward and following the call of Jesus Christ must replace looking back. Even Paul, the most famous leader in church history, understood that we always have room to grow in our relationship with Christ. He had the education, he had all those things, but he still had room to grow, and each of us always have room to grow. Like athletes, we are striving towards that goal. Focus is so important when we are trying to reach that heavenly goal, following Christ's will. Washington Gladden is a pastor that once said, it is better to say this one thing I do than to say these 40 things I dabble in. Experts in efficiency often tell us we should do fewer things and do them better. It's so easy to spread ourselves too thin, trying to do too much. I know I'm interested in so many different things, and I end up jumping from one thing to another to another. The problem is that I sometimes lose focus on what's most important. My desire to seek to follow Christ and to follow the way Christ is leading. Automaker Henry Ford once said, "A weakness of all human beings is trying to do too many things at once." I thought, that's me. That scatters effort and destroys direction. It makes for haste, and haste makes waste. So we do things all the wrong ways possible before we come to the right one. Then we think it is the best way because it works, and it was the only way left that we could see. Every now and then, I wake up in the morning headed towards that finality with a dozen things I want to do. I know I can't do them all at once. When asked what Ford did about that, he replied, "I go out and trot around the house." He must have had a big house, jogging around. "While I'm running off the excess energy that wants to do too much, my mind clears, and I see what can be done and should be done first." It's interesting, when I thought about that, I often get the most ideas when I'm out jogging. And I'm exercising, and my mind starts to clear, and I start to pick up new ideas. And it often helps me focus, so I could really identify with that. My wife and I are trying to help our kids focus on certain things that need to be done before they start playing their computer games. So, and it's a struggle. And right away, it's so easy to see with our kids. They all go right to the thing they want to do without thinking, what do they need to do first? What's important here? We have to catch those areas and help them see that if they go right to this game, they're going to forget to do this and things will be undone. So I think most of us struggle with priorities. We may avoid doing something difficult for a while and then run out of time because we've been distracted by those other things. So when have you been distracted? Some distractions are easy to spot, like a mosquito bugging us while we're trying to cook supper on a camp stove. You know, that we know that's an obvious distraction. And, for example, many people are addicted to things like drugs or alcohol. Those things we can see that are distracting. Some people struggle with pornography, readily available on the internet. Aside from harming our image of male-female relationships, it can also easily become a distraction from more healthy ways of spending our time. Even just spending time online, in general, can eat up hours and hours of time and possibly take away from something that might be more productive, something that we might be doing. Of course, limited time on computer is very useful if used wisely, so of course we know that. Some distractions are difficult to spot because they are good things, like Martha's cooking a meal for Jesus. That's a wonderful thing, and that's important too. We may spend time serving in church or volunteering our time to help people outside the church. These are great, but sometimes our efforts to do good become like idols that we worship. It's easy to push ourselves to do all the right things, but forget to seek God's will. The result is a growing anxiety. We may become irritated that others are not recognizing the things we do. Or we may begin to judge others for not working as hard as we are working. These are all signs that we've become distracted. signs that we have begun to focus on ourselves rather than on walking with God. So it's important to keep seeking God through prayer. I'd like to share one other thing I discovered this devotional material called Every Day with Jesus. I don't know if any of you have heard of this. It comes out of Surrey. Actually, Surrey, the UK, not the Surrey by here. So by Selwyn Hughes is the one who writes a lot of these things. Or I think he's passed away by now. But he often had worked with visiting people in prisons and did a lot of counseling. And what I appreciate about him is how he gets deeper into a lot of the issues behind a lot of things. And it's always connected with faith. So it's not just psychology, but he's connecting to something deeper. And so I find a lot of his writing very, very, very helpful. I use this along with the Rejoice, the Mennonite materials. So it's been very helpful for me. And so I'd just like to share something that he has written. He came up with six characteristics of when we look at the question, how mature am I? In the passage I read from Philippians, Paul is talking about pressing towards the goal and talking about let us be mature. And so here I'll just share some of these characteristics that he gives us. So the first is an unwavering commitment to knowing Jesus Christ. So that's basically the relationship, not just knowing about Jesus, but it's the relationship. It's the dynamics of prayer, seeking God's will, and seeking the leading of the Lord in our lives. So a commitment to growing in our relationship with Jesus. Paul talks about this one thing I do, looking forward towards that goal. The second thing he says, a realistic appraisal of our own progress. So Paul says, not that I have already obtained this. So he understands he's on the way, and each of us are on the way. And so as we're thinking, well, I've already made it. I understand this and this. I understand so much, so I'm there. No, we can never say that. There's always more to there's always room to grow for each of us. So a realistic appraisal of our own progress. And there's a tension there because we have so much now from God, but we also have a room for growth. So the wisdom is knowing this, understanding this tension. We have room to grow, but we already have received Christ. So where is that area to grow? Where is that area we can just say, hallelujah, I've received so much. So the third one is an unsentimental attitude to the past. So we learn to forget. Paul talks about forgetting what's behind and going forward. So, of course, it's good to remember how God has worked in our lives in the past. But we don't want to get stuck thinking, oh, this was so great back then, get nostalgic about things, or hey, I achieved this in the past, so I'm good. You know, that kind of we get stuck on some of those things sometimes. So not getting sentimental about what's happened in the past. It can paralyze us. And then the fourth thing was an undiminished desire for God, which is very similar to our commitment to knowing Jesus Christ. So it's that longing for God and paying attention to that we keep our longing for God, keep that in our minds. We long for God. And the fifth one is an undistracted focus on the things that really matter so that we do fewer things better. So that's basically a lot of the content with the Mary and Martha story of the distraction with the meal rather than focusing on Jesus. Trying not to, paying attention to not getting too distracted about other things and keeping our focus. And then the last one is an unabashed tendency to be forward-looking. So this is also similar to the the other parts. We're looking forward to the goal rather than getting stuck in the past. So if we think about these characteristics, where are we in that? Each of us have room to grow, and we want to keep our focus on the Lord. So please join with me in prayer. Oh Lord, we confess that we sometimes get caught up focusing on all kinds of things that are important, but then we forget about you. We forget to seek your guidance. We forget to pray and include you in our decisions. In our lives, may we walk with you rather than run ahead. Like Mary, may we sit and take time to listen. Help us to continually increase our prayer life, that our relationship with you may grow. Help us to take time to read your word in the Bible. Open our hearts to the leading of your Spirit in times of meeting and worshiping together, as well as in our lives, in the different situations we face. We pray your leading for the future, for this congregation and meeting place and those decisions that are happening. We pray for your Spirit's leading and the decisions as to where Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship will be meeting, and that outreach may continue, and that your Spirit might guide this group. Some things are out of our hands and what we can control, but Lord, you have a vision for us, and I pray for the leading of your Spirit and the wisdom in those decisions that are being made. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, that we may be able to resist those things that distract us from focusing on you. Through Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen.